Today on Infonomicon, we've got a special guest host. We're going to be talking about the Tron movie, BT Source, Ubuntu Linux, some kid named Yahoo, faster broadband, old world Macs, a pen that doesn't cuss, Linux on a Mac, and a little bit about asterisks at the end. Stay tuned.
Grandfather, why don't you call me anymore? Why? Call me back, bitch.
This is IP Relay Operator 7721 with a relay call. Leave a message, Droops and obfuscate me in WW. I'm cheap, so I'm using IP Relay to call you. Your show is the shot shit. End of message. Thank you, IP Relay Operator 7721.
Bye. Editing is all Mac-based now. I mean, you know, there are programs out there on the PC, but whether you're using Avid or using Final Cut Pro, you're working on a Macintosh. Using a Mac is a little different than using a PC. It's not so much operating a computer as it is sort of tricking it, fooling it into doing what it is you really want it to do. You kind of have to sneak up on a Mac. I don't feel like I'm operating the Mac so much as I'm just there sharing the Mac experience. And if I can do something useful while the Mac is willing, so much the better. One of the coolest features of the Macintosh is it's really easy to shut down. All you have to do is be using a piece of software and then poof, it goes away. It's gone. It's shut down. You didn't push any buttons, you didn't close, you didn't even save. It's just gone. Unless you want to shut down a Mac, oh, that's a whole nother story. I mean, you try to close a program and it locks up, and then you do that funny, what is it, the cloverleaf period thing?
These unnatural and ultimately useless interrupt keys.
Then nothing moves. Then you push the power button and it won't turn off. You go around and unplug it, and you better hope you're not on a laptop, because then you got to find the damn battery and try to pull that out, or the thing will never shut down. So I put my CD in the CD-ROM tray, and I'm copying media off that CD, dragging it onto my desktop, dragging it onto my desktop, dragging it onto my desktop. I eject it, and where did my files go? It's the only operating system I know of where click and drag does not mean you actually copy or move anything. No, you're just making shortcuts on your desktop. So I've got my next CD, and I slam it into the CD-ROM tray, and lo and behold, it starts playing all by itself. I'm looking for a way to turn it off. Finally, out of desperation, I click and drag the CD into the garbage can. The system locks up. So I go to the cloverleaf period spacebar thing, hoping I can stop the program, and I get a little caution window saying, careful, interrupting this program may lock up the system. I try to click OK, but the system's already locked up!
I like the handle here. That's so you can attach a chain and use it as a boat anchor! The Mac is practicing some kind of bizarre psychological warfare on me because I'm working late at night. Out of the corner of my eye, I keep seeing this thing jumping up and down. The update manager is bouncing at the bottom of the screen like a Jack Russell Terrier. So I'm looking around in the list of the files, trying to find the executable it wants me to update, and if I click on any one of them by accident, I rename it. Oh no, it's been renamed nothing. It was some kind of important system file, and the computer crashes.
On a PC, no data is really lost. I mean, there's a way to undelete a file. If you know what you're doing in DOS, you can go in and recover anything that's been corrupted. On a Mac, if you lose a file, you run to the store and get a copy of the Mac version of Norton Utilities. You run back only to have Norton go, you idiot! You own a Macintosh! The file is fucking gone! It's just gone! Don't have any tools or any kind of buttons or whatever, dials or switches in the bottom of the screen, because if you reach for them, the dock menu comes up. You've got to, like, angle around and slide and dodge the thing to get to the control. It's kind of like boxing with your computer. I can put it on the bottom, I can put it on the left, I can put it on the right. No, I can't put it on the top. That's reserved for the mighty Blue Apple. My name is Hunter Kressel. I'm an editor, and I cut together everything you saw tonight on a Macintosh. Mac killed my inner child.
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit, here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
We have to strike now, sir! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell! They are not going to take this anymore!
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscate It.
And this is a very special episode of Infonomicon Radio.
It is? Oh, episode, this is episode 26, release date, January 18th, 2005.
Yes, this is actually a very, very special, super special even episode. Because today, my friends, we're joined in prayer by our special friend, the Mac Master, the graphics guru,
and former
the Asterix newbie, the former porn store Ubuntu installer, our favorite anal marooter, Mr. Pixel Fiend.
Hey, what's up?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
All right.
Actually, it's show 27, isn't it?
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, episode 27 then. Okay, and you said, okay, do you want to go into email or get some emails?
Let's do email.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually do have some email.
I got a question real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
And I want to ask this. If you're doing the show, and obviously it's doing the show, and I'm on the show, who's listening?
Oh, I actually,
Shedda and Berserk.
And Stank Dog 3 weeks from now.
Oh, okay. Hey, Stank.
That's it.
Young man.
We'll all download it 100 times after the show, right?
That, yeah. He'll still do it, please.
All right. Okay, well, the first email actually concerns Mr. Pixel Fiend. I recently got a BT Source invite, and now I have a hope to give away. And somebody I didn't know emailed me, and so I decided to test them to see if they really were deserving of such an invite. And I said, all right, you have to answer a question about internet radio. And they said that they would go for it. And I said, okay, on the Infonomicon radio show, who is the guy that provides the T-shirts? Well, this fella listened to two episodes of Infonomicon and then browsed some forums and came up with a guess. And he guessed incorrectly.
Who did he get?
Obviously, he doesn't listen to the show.
He guessed Sub-Zero 1037. But he was from Australia, so I forgive him. And gave him a little invite.
What was his name?
His name is Sleeper Catcher.
Oh, I got an email from him too.
Okay.
Okay, I got an email.
And then I'm not done.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then my friend Head wrote me, and he said, "Hey, dude, what's going on?" And he said he likes the show and he likes the website. And then he said he was sorry for calling me the other night when he was really high and drunk and he was playing dominoes. And that was really nice of him to apologize for such things. And then Code Runner wrote in, and he sent us an MP3 that we're going to play later in the show. And he said, shouts from Europe.
Oh, he's in Europe?
Yeah, no Americans, just Europeans and Australians.
We're international now. I feel so fancy. Woohoo! I got an email from Musa, M-A-U-S-A. Mausa? That's not Musa Williams, okay? From the guy who wants your money to get his brother over here. Anyway, he says, got the keychain this week. And he went to drop a line and says, thanks. So he got your keychain, man. Your that ghetto chain.
Speaking of keychains, Rebel Whore, if you're listening, it said that your address was incorrect, and it said you're unknown, and they sent me your keychain back. Yeah. Maybe your parents didn't accept mail to Rebel Whore. I don't know. I hope I didn't get you in any trouble, buddy.
And I remember that guy David was asking if he was from New Zealand?
Yeah.
Okay, he is. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm from New Zealand, my little redneck corner.
Excellent.
So, they got rednecks in New Zealand.
They got rednecks everywhere, buddy.
It's an, well, they had to come from somewhere, I guess. And, I got a guy named Eddie email me, and he said, last week's show he heard it, and he heard it, I need Apache help. Actually, it was Samba that I needed help with. Which I got set up and everything. Everything works smoothly now. And we'll talk about that in a little bit later. But, yeah, it was not Apache, but Samba. I just want to make that clear.
All right.
And I got an email from Pixel Theme, but that he's here, so I don't have to worry about that.
I got a bunch from him.
I got one from Mobile Digit, too. He says, dude, your sound is too good for me. I think you should add some music in the background or something because of the silent, humorous pauses in between your talking. Which basically, I guess it's kind of like the cell phone thing. You know, you're so used to talking on a regular phone that when it goes silent, you're like, hello? Hello, you still there? You know? So,
yeah.
I'll leave some noise in there for everybody who doesn't, you know, maybe. Pixelfiend, do you like the noiselessness, or do you need some extra little noise in there to make it feel comfortable, or?
No, I got enough noise in my life. I don't need any extra.
Okay, we'll go with Pixelfiend then, since he downloads the shows 500 times a week.
Sorry, man.
And thank God for him. So, Pixelfiend, did you get any email?
Did I get any email? I get about, ooh, God, 70, 80, 90 spams a day.
You can read one of those.
Yeah, you want to read any of that?
I don't want to read any of it, and I throw it all away.
Why? It's good to keep it.
That's wasteful. You should recycle it.
That's e-waste.
Well,
e-waste.
Actually, I got a lot of it at work. I keep all of it at work.
I got an email from the. Remember we talked about the daily download last week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. He says, wacky how things turn out. I had just finished my Power Over Ethernet project, thanks to you, when I noticed when I was mentioned on your show. Thanks for pimping the podcast, even though he gets way more listeners than we do, right? Right now, which is saying a lot because he's a guy who's taking a shit, talking on the radio. Right now, I'm holding a contest on the show and would love to have you guys send in a voice message. All you have to do is Skype me at username poopcasting and leave a message. Tell me what you call it when you take a dump. Example, dropping the kids off of the pool, pinching a deuce.
And you can, I call it an obfuscated.
An obfuscated? You dick. And you can win a copy of the Journal of Ass Production.
Oh, God.
Right now, I can only record 1 minute, but the developer of the software is supposed to have that fixed soon. I also want to say I really dig your podcast. We don't have a podcast. We have a radio show. Great stuff. Love the hacks and the videos. Chris Rockwell, the poop master. At the poop master part.
I got to check it.
It's a guy taking a dump, and when I said last episode you could hear him dump, like taking a dump, you can hear him taking a dump. It's cool because he has like this professional voice, and when he's talking, you just like you listen to him. And he's like, hold on for a second.
Is there like this deep echo or something in the background, so it sounds like he's in his bathroom or something?
Oh, he's in the bathroom. Oh yeah, you can definitely tell that. It's got the reverb and everything.
Sounds coming off the walls and everything.
Yeah.
Big splashes and stuff.
Oh, well, last episode, he somebody sent him a thing where you can make shapes out of your poop. You hold the stencil up to your ass. And you have to do this while standing up on a toilet so that it makes splash noises.
Oh, God.
It's not for the weak of heart. Now, I'll tell you what, this is... It's kind
of
like it.
This is one of the reasons I'm really glad that we don't have smell over IP.
Smell over IP. It's coming up. Gates would kind of deal with that next. They, which I think this proves a point that everybody's like, oh, I want to start a show. I don't know what to talk about. Yeah, if you can't find something to talk about, then you're an idiot. This guy's making a show about pooping.
We have a show.
Yeah, well, we have a show, you know. And I got one for Sleepcatcher also. He said, he said, good day. You said he's from Australia, right? Or New Zealand?
Yes.
Which one?
Australia.
Australia, okay.
I was Australia,
that,
mate.
I was wondering where that G-Day came from. I thought you might be interested. I found a Disney blog. Disney has a blog. Oh, Pixelfing, do you have a blog?
No, I do not have a blog.
Okay, good.
Do not have a podcast.
Well, we like podcasts. We hate blogs.
That's right.
Disney remaking Tron. Basically, he knows how I like movies, and he's telling me they're remaking Tron, which I'm sure is star Bennifer and his boyfriend. What's his boyfriend's name? Matt Damon. So thanks for that. That was pretty interesting. The remake would probably suck. The original one was only cool because it was so corny. The graphics, oh my God. When's the last time was anybody here seeing Tron?
Never seen it.
You never seen Tron?
When it came out in the theaters.
No.
You seen it in the theaters?
I saw it in the theaters.
Was you blown away by the graphics?
I was pretty little, but...
Oh, that is kind of really old. It was like 1980, huh?
Yeah, it was... Oh God, I don't even remember when it was, but... Yeah, I was pretty young.
It had to be before Star Wars, because I don't think those graphics would have flew if it came out afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all my emails.
All right.
By the way, I did have some voice messages.
So
I'm going to play those either before or after the show. I haven't decided yet. But if you send us a message, they'll get played.
Tron was 82.
Excellent.
82 came out?
Yep.
I was 3.
2. Okay. Whatever. Okay. So let's do a radio show.
Okay, man. Go ahead.
Who's got the best article to start with?
Oh, we're going to articles? I thought we were going to talk about some stuff.
I think we should talk about stuff after we do articles.
Okay, man. You go ahead. Go first.
Okay. The first little thing we got going on, IBM. I really like them. For some reason. I don't know. ThinkPad computers are nice. Anyway, we've talked about this before on the show, and IBM has made a pledge, and they've donated donated 500 of their patents that they have as a company for open source development. And we've talked about you might write a program and you might come up with everything all on your own. And you might say, this is my program, it's awesome. But there could be some business that patented some little stupid thing in your damn program and they can sue you for using their intellectual property.
Like
even though you didn't know it was there or they don't use it. And businesses actually have departments. Major corporations have departments that just do this all day. They file patents away just so they can have these things, and they usually don't enforce them unless they have a major competitor that's making a lot of money, and they say, oh yeah, well, you're infringing on this patent right here, blah, 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 blah. And IBM is working on donating a bunch of its patents to the open source movement so that they don't have to worry about those. Of course, Microsoft has a shitload, HP has a shitload, Sun has a shitload, and you have to worry about things like that, but
Infonomicon,
I think it's really nice of IBM. Infonomicon has a bunch, but this is a big step, because they pay a lot of money for these things, for open source, and that's awesome.
There's a debate going on about this right now, yes, they're giving away these patents, but they also buy a lot of them. They still get a bunch of them each year.
Oh, yeah. But still think it's nice that they're letting open source get around with some of the stuff.
Oh, it's definitely cool. Definitely. Anybody that does that, if they're not using it, there's a lot of companies that sit on them just to be sitting on them. But I'm just glad they're putting them out there because IBM is cool. Yeah. I don't have anything else.
All right.
Oh, is that it?
I think so.
Okay, there's a... A Romanian couple named their son Yahoo as a sign of gratitude for meeting over the internet. A Romanian newspaper said Thursday, the Daily, some other name I can't pronounce, they're both from Transylvania. They met and decided they were going to meet for each other after following a 3-month relationship over the net. They married and had a baby, this Christmas, whom they decided to name after one of the web's most popular portals. And, they kept talking about the name and everything. But yeah, they named the kid Yahoo. Remember last week we were talking about naming the kid iPod?
Yeah.
I wonder if this guy has to pay royalties, this little kid.
Oh, God.
Who remembers Yahoo Serious?
Oh, I do. Young Einstein.
Young Einstein. Yeah. See how far that name got him, huh? Okay, that's it. That's just a little stupid lie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Remember, you don't remember last episode we talked about naming a kid iPod?
Had a paper. Yeah, I don't know who this... okay.
Yahoo. Okay.
All right.
Hold on, let me read this article again. They named the kid Yahoo. That's it. That's the article. It's not. You don't learn anything from it. You just know it now. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad they didn't meet on like AOL and name the kid America Online.
I'm glad they didn't meet some porn site and call him Cum Dumpster.
I was just thinking about that.
Cum Dumpster Bukowski.
Where's Google Goldstein?
Okay.
Article, if you're interested.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah, I forgot that. sorry.
We're just talking. Go ahead.
Comcast expects broadband speeds. Comcast next week is expected to announce plans to raise its broadband internet speeds for all customers by at least a third later this year, according to sources familiar with the plans. The nation's largest cable company and broadband provider will raise its current download up to 3 megabits per second downstream and 256 kbps upstream to 4 megabits and 384 respectively at no additional cost. Comcast will also offer its more expensive 4 megabits customers a 50% increase to 6 downstream and 768K upstream, the sources said. Now, it goes a little further down here. This makes me very happy because I got Comcast. Let me see. Because they mentioned Cox also. I know, because I think you've got a Cox, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do, unfortunately. But
cable companies have ratcheted up their broadband speeds as a defensive maneuver against heightened competition from the baby Bell phone companies. After years of heel-dragging, the Bells have made an aggressive push to attract a growing number of Americans switching to broadband by offering lower prices of their DSL services. In contrast to cable's average subscription fee of $45 a month, the Bells are selling DSL for as low as $26.95 a month with a basic phone line. And that still is not telling me about Cox.
I hope they do. That'd be great because Cox, it's not that much of his problems, but the more bandwidth, the better. It does. Is Comcast that mostly like the northern states?
Actually, goes all the way out west. My brother-in-law's got it in Utah.
Huh.
Here you go.
You know, Comcast was actually founded in... Whoa, we're talking over each other. Go ahead.
It's all right. Other cable companies have taken similar steps to raise their speeds. In December, Time Warner decided to raise its basic download speed to 5 megabits from 3 for free. Months earlier, Cox Communications said it would raise its speed limit from 3 to 4. But naturally, a Comcast spokeswoman declined to comment.
Don't they always, even though it's a compliment to them? They're like, no comment. Then y'all just like make $1 trillion this year. No comment.
They won't raise it, rates for that. They'll raise my cable television, like $30-$40 a month and give me the all potato channel or something.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy how much cable costs nowadays?
God, don't.
It's crazy. I get it free because I live in the ghetto. But
You get free cable because you live in a ghetto?
I live in the apartment complex. They provide it free.
Damn, that's nice. I used to have to pay for it when I lived in an apartment.
This is like the only apartment I've ever
lived in. Yeah, you're still paying for it.
I'm still, yeah. Well, it's the only apartment I've ever lived in that provided it, which is great because I didn't have to pay for cable to get internet.
Cool.
Because it was the other way around. I would have had to pay for a phone to get DSL, even though I don't use my home phone.
Okay, I got an article.
You do?
I do.
Damn.
It's about a computer.
Cool.
And it's called a pen top computer, as in like a writing instrument. Leapfrog and some Swedish technology company called Anodo, whatever. It's a $100 gadget, and it's a little pen that has a little camera on the end of it, and it captures the text in a digital file when you write on some special paper. It's got barely visible little gray dots on it. Huh. Kind of tracks you like a mouse, and it's about as thick as a magic marker, and it captures about 75 frames a second, and the pen software can read a user's handwriting or drawing and then orally respond. For example, like, this is fucking cool. Like, you can draw out a calculator, just draw it on this paper, and then touch the pen to 2 plus 2, and the pen will say 4. And it'll also give you hints on how to do long division, spell words, and it'll quiz you if you have these little interactive worksheets.
And where can you get this device?
It'll translate your. I'm still talking.
Oh.
It'll read your English words and translate it into Spanish or French via the speaker. So you can write, "Go fuck the French," and then it'll say in French, "Parlez-vous Frenchies," and I think that's kind of. And you can also use it musically. You can draw 8 slices, and on a rectangle, and then use that as a keyboard, and you just tap the different keys, and it'll play a different note.
Oh God! How much does the device cost?
It's $99, and Leapfrog's planning on selling this pen in the fall. Really? And they're working. Yeah, they got some complications they've got going on.
What does it say?
If you write like an obscenity, it'll say stuff like, "You can't say that."
I want one.
Like, we could do the show with the pen. We could just write it. It would be like, "Today on You Can't Say That, we'll be talking about You Can't Say That."
It's like
fucking pen.
He's like, "You can't do it on television." You know, every time you say, "I don't know," that green shit fly on you.
It captures at 75 frames a second?
Yeah, that's really, really good.
That's damn fast.
Shit.
But you have to write on the special paper. But I think that'd be really cool. Like, you're in class, and they're like, "No calculators." And you've got your little pen. You just draw your own little calculator. It says 4. The teacher's like, "Who said 4?
That is pretty fucking Leapfrog, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. My son's got a Leapfrog.
Man, guys, those things actually... I remember having one when I was... I remember those things coming out when I was a teenager. No, that was teenager years. They've been around for a while. But advertisers on Google are told to keep it proper. In the haphazard world of instant messaging and dashed off emails where KK isn't a topographical mistake, but just the latest bit of internet slang. It stands for K's are okay, because okay is too long to write out. Does anyone really care about style or grammar anymore? Google does. Taking the stance that unorthodox usage and punctuation and slang create a less straightforward searching experience. Google's AdWords division, which is responsible for the contextual ads that appear alongside each results, insist on standard English and punctuation. Cater to teenagers hooked on text messaging. This is a word world with no deals for you. That's spelled D-E-A-L-Z for the letter U. To those who say, basically, the whole article is basically that Google's ads will be spelled right, and they deny anybody that tries to put an ad there that spelled like, you know, leet speak. Which is kind of comforting, because a lot of the other search engines just let anybody put any pictures up there. They don't give a shit. I'll wait for one day to go to MSN.com and just be like a big, like, dick on the side there, you know, growing, you know. Extends.
Expand your penis naturally.
With Microsoft.
With Microsoft Penis 2.0.
It's a hell of a thing to name a penis Microsoft.
It gets errors and viruses.
You're in the middle of fucking, you get a blue screen to death.
Somebody sends you AIDS.
Oh, that's a new blue screen. Now, if you don't get the blue screen anymore, you get a big dick that says, "You're fucked, you're fucked."
Your dick just explodes on you. You should have used open source penis. You got article picks for me, or?
No, I'm pretty much good.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
yeah, he fits in well, doesn't he?
He really does here. What, you got anything else, Mr. Drupalito?
Mr. Drupalito might have a little bit. But Mr. Drupalito's articles are all stuff that he and Mr. Pixel Fiend were talking about before the show, and Pixel Fiend wanted to talk about, so we're going to combine this one together.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Apple's trying a new thing, and it's lower prices on their hardware. Now, as we all know, like an Apple computer has always, not always, has lately been a more expensive kind of higher-end computer than the plain old PC that you go down to CompUSA or whatever and buy. And you get more for your money. You get a better operating system. Supposedly, you definitely have a lot less spyware, things like that. And spyware and adware are becoming such a massive problem that I read an article the other day. People are just quitting their PC. They're just like, I'm fucking tired of the computer. I'm not using it anymore. Well, now Apple is selling stuff that's a lot cheaper. Their iPods, like, you can get the color photo for, like, the 60 gig for, what is it, $699?
That's cheap.
Well, now they're selling... Now they're selling a whole computer that, you know, stands a monitor, keyboard, mouse stuff for $499. Now, people obviously know about this. It's a big deal. And I'm very new to the Mac OS X or OS X, however you say it. How do you say it, Pixel Fiend?
OS X.
OS X. Now, you said you wanted one of these. Tell us about it and tell us some stuff that PC users need to know about why they should buy one of these.
Well, actually, it's called the Mac Mini, and I want one in a really bad way. It's $499, and let me get the specs back up. $499 is for the 40 gig model, and it comes with 256 megs of RAM, but you can upgrade. 1.25 gigahertz PowerPC G4. And a slot loading combo drive. You can go and you can option up for more and better things at a, you know, naturally a higher cost. They have two models. One out is, the other one out is a $599 model. It has a little bit of a processor bump. It's a 1.42 gigahertz G4 also, and an 80 gig drive, or you could just go with the lower model, pay $50 extra and get the 80 gig drive. You can run it as a headless.
How much of a difference is that? How much difference does the processor make like that? That little bump.
Well, I tell you the truth, I don't think that really I wouldn't even notice it. I've been running my my laptop's running 667. Megahertz, and I've worked on my bosses that's, what was that one? I think it's over a gig, but, tell you the truth, I really don't notice that much of a difference, but unless you use, like, really, you know, graphic intensive processes like Photoshop and things like that. But generally, for the amount of stuff that people are going to be using, you know, the things for, you're not going to be doing, you know, heavy graphics work. You're not going to be doing heavy video editing on this. I mean, if you're going to be doing something like that, you're going to want a G5 anyway, because you're, you know, that's going to give you a hell of a lot more processing power. Yeah, that's just not what this is meant for. You want to run an iTunes, music server off it or something like that, then it'd be great for it. You know, distributed .NET machine, that'd be great to run off of that too. You could probably get some real sweet numbers off of that. Just a second headless server that you could run in, storage for, you know, organizing your podcasts and everything else that you're running through. They're really pushing the iLife suite with this for DVD burning and stuff like that. I've never really, tell you the truth, even burned a DVD from the Mac. I've done one from a PC before, but like I said, they're really pushing the iLife portion of this. It looks like, to tell you the truth, so far as I'm concerned, I think it would be a great headless machine that you can use like the Apple Remote administration software and things like that. Or even just set up a KVM switch and switch it back and forth, because it can take VGA for video out. It sounds like a hell of an idea to me, especially you can get a Mac that's going to be running a G4 and running OS X and running Panther for under $500. It's a hell of a deal. especially since, unlike the PCs that you get for about the same price, you're going to be getting a full version of the operating system with this. So that's a $129 value if you want to take that out of that, that you wouldn't be getting with your PC. So, what are your thoughts on it, Drews?
You mentioned that it has VGA out. Do Macs usually not have a VGA out?
They've been doing DVI. You know, maybe I'm all wet. Let me check this out. Scott.
And I was looking on the Apple website, and I was looking at this thing, and it doesn't appear to have any screws holding it together. Is it like the iPod where you can't open it up and upgrade it yourself?
I read something about that. Somebody was talking about breaking in the case and it would be really difficult to do. I've just seen like top and sides on the one. I haven't seen underneath it. I'll definitely be checking that out as soon as I can, but it's going to be packed in there. Everything's going to be packed in there really tight. It may be a royal pain in the ass in order to upgrade things. I really don't think this is something you're going to be buying, looking to upgrade it down the road. It does have a VGA out, and it's an adapter. It goes DVI to VGA.
Is it
okay?
Is it easy to upgrade a Mac, even a normal Mac? Isn't it meant to just be sent off and upgrade it?
Well, no, the tower machines, I've put hard drives in them and RAM and PCI cards and, you know, the whole nine yards. The tower machines are not hard to do at all. The where it's gotten a real bad name is the iMacs. Trying to upgrade iMacs are a royal pain in the ass. You know, Droops knows what I'm talking about. But even the generation of iMacs prior to the one that's out now, which is a badass-looking machine, but... one of my bosses just got one, and we were looking at it, trying to figure out how in the hell you would get into it. But the one prior to that, I've heard nightmare stories about people trying to upgrade RAM and things like that in it. But, it's consumer-level machine that it's geared toward people that would be dragging it into the store and saying, here, upgrade my machine for me.
Right.
If I was to get one that I wanted to do a lot of playing around with and everything, I'd get one of the G5 towers, which is, if you've ever seen how one of those opens up and how well put together the machine is inside, you'd be real impressed.
Does it take standard, what kind of memory does it take, the towers?
To tell you the truth, I haven't upgraded a tower recently. The last one I did was about 4 years ago. And it was a DIMM that was bought for work. It was bought through the Apple store. So, to tell you the truth, I really can't answer that and give you a decent answer.
So it's probably standard proprietary memory, right?
I've heard people saying that Apple memory works better than others, but I think it's, so long as you get a name brand RAM, or
right,
not going to be you're not going to be hurting for that. Bad memory is going to be bad memory no matter what. But if you get a decent name brand, Crucial or Kensington or, you know, any of those probably work real well.
Cool.
Okay, I was also looking on it, and while I was looking for screw holes, I was looking for a place that a fan would be exhausting or taking air in, and I didn't see that.
Yeah, I know.
And I was thinking...
I see there are vents in the back over here by the ports, but... there's an area around the bottom. It looks like it's lifted up slightly. I'm looking at one of the pictures online.
Okay.
I don't know if there's something maybe runs around the outside of the bottom, around the base or something. I'm not real sure. I'll just send you a nice lengthy email when I get one. I'll take it all apart and fuck it all up and then have to get a new one probably.
How many computers do you have that you have in your lab? I've heard stories.
I was counting earlier for Droops. I've got 15 Linux boxes all together.
Are they running right now?
I've got 6 of them running in here in my office right now, and 2 laptops. And one of the Linux I'm counting is my Wall Street over there with Ubuntu on it.
So you would say the electricity company gets a good penny from you?
Sometimes. I don't always run them all. I've got my little rack shelf downstairs where I've got 5 of them, or 8 of them grouped together, And I was playing some interesting network games with a couple people came over one time, but just a lot of testing out things. So they're not all running all at once. So
okay,
but yeah, I guess I tend to pull a little bit of juice into the house here.
Droops.
I get fan letters from the electric company.
I was playing around. Right. Speaking of Linux, just for a second, I was playing around with the Bash Potter, the one you sent me the link for.
Cool.
That is excellent. Not only is it cool as hell, it's super fast.
I love it.
It's super great. Fast. I use that on my Linux box. That's the only thing I use.
Yeah, yeah. I got it on my Apple laptop, the Titanium. It's great. I use it every day.
Yeah, Wget's way faster than just download it from the browser.
Yeah.
Have you tried it out, Droops?
I have not tried Bash Potter yet.
You got to give it a shot.
It's really simple, especially just the whole thing with the config file. Simple. Just paste it on there or type it in there and you're done.
So now I'm going to have to get my sound working on my Linux box, huh?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're the one that has problems installing like Slackware and not coming up with the sync, right?
You know...
everybody has problems
it's
installing
Slackware.
It's
this fucking monitor... I have never had trouble installing Slackware, except like when I was a little kid and I was installing like Slack 1 or Slack 6.1, I'm sorry. And that was a pain in the ass for me, or 6.2, I don't know. But this is the first time I've had trouble since I knew what a refresh rate was.
Yeah, but my install doesn't have anything to do anything with the refresh rate.
Yeah, mine does, because Slack doesn't pick it up. And it does not fix or
are you using
like
some kind
that.
Of fancy monitor or something? Or
I'm using a monitor from an IBM PS1.
Damn.
It's so old, IBM problem. Doesn't even have the specs anymore on it.
That might be the problem. I'm using the old, like, compact Presario fucking monitor.
Well, I just got... two Macs today. I was telling Pixelfiend about it, and they came with monitors. Do you think those would plug into my PC?
Good God. Which ones have you got again? I can't remember which ones you were telling me about.
I don't remember. But, like, it's got a standard VGA plug on the...
it's got a standard VGA...
monitor.
Yeah, give it a shot. I've got adapters with dip switches on them that I've used Mac monitors on PCs before. Matter of fact, I just got rid of one a couple months ago.
Excellent. All right, Mr. Obfuscated, you ready?
Yes. Windows. Speaking of Macs, Windows Worm travels with Tetris. Users are being warned about a Windows virus, surprisingly, that poses a hugely popular Tetris game. The Celery, is that how you pronounce that? C-E-L-L-E-R-Y? Celery? The Celery Worm installs a playable version of the classic Falling Blocks game on the PCs that has included a virus. While users play the game, the worm spends its time using the machine to search for new victims to infect on nearby networks. The risk of infection by Celery is thought to be very low, as few copies of the worm have been found in the wild. Number one, you go to your games, right? And all of a sudden there's a new Tetris game, one that's not been there already. What the fuck would make you start playing? I would be like, how the fuck did this get there?
It's a gift.
You think your buddy installed it for you or something.
It's like, oh, Tater installed a fucking Tetris for me.
Thanks, Tater.
Thanks, Tater. That is so, like, I don't know. Some people that use computers, I don't know, shouldn't be using them.
Which is most people, actually.
Which is most people, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any stupid user stories? Pixel?
Tell you the truth, not any. They're coming to mind.
People that start playing Tetris?
Yeah, catch me on a good day.
you give me a cup holder story, huh?
Yeah, a cup holder story. Yeah, I had a cup holder story once.
Oh, God. It was, ugh.
The woman that was the one I'd read online somewhere. The woman that couldn't figure out why the PC wasn't working. She told the lady she kept stepping on the foot pedal and it was the mouse.
Well, I had this wonderful sweet lady bring her computer into the store the other day, and we fixed it for her. And she gets home and she calls me and she says that it won't turn on. And so I'm going through, and I didn't want to ask her, is it plugged into the wall? But finally, I just did. And she said, no, it's plugged into the screen. And I could not convince her that the power did not come through the monitor. Like, she couldn't find the power cord. She didn't bring it with her. It was somewhere behind her desk. She didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I told her to come up to the store, and we gave her a power cord. But, like, she just... I had to show her to plug it in, and, like, it only can go in one spot. And then she thought when she plugged it in, she could unplug the monitor from the computer and have it work still, because, you know, it wasn't providing the power that way.
Jesus. I do want to mention something. You want to go ahead and just go ahead and go start talking about our topics, or...
Yeah, let's start talking about our topics.
Okay, I got one right now. If anybody's noticed the website, it had a voting thing where you could vote at for the podcast alley. Now that,
yes.
What's funny? They I actually got
What happened to Podcast Alley?
Well, I'm gonna get to that in a second. I actually, when I put it up there, I got the idea from Michael Gohagan. He does a podcast called Real Reviews. It's a like every other day, once a week, comes out with a movie review of classic movies, and he talks about it. Really cool guy. Well, I was noticing on the web, he said he got this idea from somebody else on his website. Looked at the source code. It was a simple. I thought it was gonna be some weird PHP shit. Not, it was just some simple, like, you know, forms. And that was it. So I cut and pasted into our site, did some little tweaking, worked great, but of course I took it down. That didn't last too long because, the voting has been disabled on Podcast Alley. We still haven't figured out why, but I'm sure we'll find out pretty soon.
Something smells funny here, though.
Something smells stinky. Okay, that's all I have with that.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that. Speaking of Podcast Alley, everyone should go there when they have the voting enabled again and vote for us. Because we're number seven.
Some people say we're crying out for votes too much.
I am crying. I'm crying right now.
Crying for you. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah. All right, Roy.
You know what sucks?
Well, since we have Pixel Feed, our Mac guru, hey, have you ever tried installing Linux on a Mac?
Yes, actually I did. Quite recently, less than 24 hours ago.
How convenient.
Yeah, isn't that something? You want me to get started on that?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Alrighty. About a week ago... I came into a Mac laptop that known as Wall Street. It's the Mac PowerBook G3, the PowerPC. It's black and, you know, plastic. It's a nice piece. Came out in 1998, and I exchanged it for a 15-inch monitor. My boss, who's a sucker, but that's all right. Yeah. So I was on IRC and talking to Droops and said, yeah, I haven't tried to install Linux on a Mac for a long time. Last time I did it, absolutely was terrible, and I really had a hell of a time with it. And said, well, why don't you go ahead and do it and come on in for Nomicon and tell us about it. So here I am, and this is what happened. I got Ubuntu, since it's got a PowerPC port, and... everybody has been talking up Ubuntu lately, and I wanted to check it out. And I looked at the live CD briefly and didn't really take an awful lot of time looking at it. But I had previously tried using Linux PPC like 4 or 5 years ago, installing it on a Mac 8600, and didn't have an awful lot of luck. But I resigned myself to the fact that I was going to make this work. Now, there are several things that you need in order to install on what they call an old world Mac. First of all, you have to know the difference between an old world Mac and a new world Mac. Basically, the new world Macs are the ones from the colored iMacs on forward. An easy way to tell is if it's got a USB port on the machine itself, it's a new world Mac. Old world Macs, use a different way of booting. They, referring to open firmware, that you have to use a separate bootloader that loads on from an actual HFS partition with OS 9 installed, or a previous version pre-OS 10. So what I had to do first was actually find my old OS 9 disks. So I had a hell of a time finding that. But once I finally found that, go ahead and booted it up and went to install OS 9 on an early partition. On it's got a 4 gig drive, so I wanted to make a real tiny partition so I'd have as much as possible left for Linux. Going through disk utility and partitioned the drive and made a 350 meg partition, installed OS 9 on that. The next thing you need is you need a bootloader. If you think Lilo, but you think graphical-wise, there's several available. There's Yaboot for New World Macs, but being it's an old world, I needed an older one than that. There's MyBoot or MiBoot, I'm not sure which way I pronounce that, and BootX. And I'd had a little bit of experience with BootX before, so I decided to go with that. You download that, and there are two pieces of the program that you have to install into OS 9. One is a control panels app that gets dropped in the control panels folder. The other is a system extension gets dropped in the system extensions folder. Very simple to set that up. You go and reboot, and it finds the extension and tries to load it up. But the first thing you need to do is you actually need to load a Linux kernel into a Linux kernels folder on the system folder in OS 9 itself. So I dropped the Ubuntu disk in, grabbed the kernel file off of the installer disk, dropped that into the Linux kernel folder, and copied also over the initialization RAM disk file. From that way, you go and you pick those pieces out inside the configuration for BootX, and it'll actually go, and that way the boot installer knows where to look for the Linux that you want to boot. So once I had all of that put in, you can boot it up, it boots through OS 9, and comes up with BootX, tell it to boot to Linux, and then it starts the installation. Now you got to do some trickery to get it to work, and actually, thank God for this, the Ubuntix wiki page. Tim Carroll wrote a really good article on setting that up, and I've got a tiny URL for it I'll give to Obfuscating and post it later if anybody's interested. What you have to do is you actually load the you install the distro twice. Reason for it is the first time you install it, you actually are building the kernel. Then you have to mount your HFS partition and copy the kernel and the initialization RAM disk images over to your HFS partition so that the bootloader can see it. Now, in order to do that, you've got to basically ruin your installation in order to do it. You use pivot root and tell it, you're basically mounting a new root. And then you mount your drives from that, because I think if I remember reading correctly, the what they give you so far as functionality for the mount command, it will not mount HFS partitions. So you kind of have to break your installation in order to do that. So then once you go ahead and you break the installation, you actually can copy your images over and your kernel over to your HFS partition, and then you go to reboot and boot back to the installer and do the installation again. Now, problem here is when you finish that, you're actually not finished. It took me 45 minutes for each installation. And so I went ahead, did the installation, got everything straightened out the way I needed to for booting the kernel, came back for another installation, and did that. It was another 45 minutes, and then you reboot again, and it will finish by setting up the user accounts and downloading through apt all the extra packages. It seems like it's pulling every package on the planet down to your hard drive. So I actually went to bed on that at about 3:30 in the morning. I think I had about 6 hours in on this until, at the point where I finally gave up and went to bed, and it was just downloading, app getting stuff from all over the place. But I got it to work, and did it all in one night, pretty much. So far as Ubuntu itself, I mean, it everything I've run on here so far is nice and quick. It's snappy. It comes with Firefox. Comes with a nice set, a nice suite of programs. Window Manager on it is GNOME by default. Things that I didn't like about it. I'm a pretty heavy Slackware user, and I'm used to customizing a lot of the stuff that I do, and I'm used to running pretty lean distros. So I'm not used to using GNOME. I'd really like to use something like Flux or something else like that on here. Pretty much once you start to install it, it's going to install any damn thing it wants. You don't really have any say in the matter once it gets going.
True.
It just gets going, it just goes and installs everything, and when it's done, it says, okay, you want to boot? And you boot back up and says, here's GNOME, this is what you're going to do. What it would be good for, and I was telling Droops about this earlier, is if you have somebody that a friend of yours or something that's actually maybe a Windows savvy user or something like that, you want to introduce to Linux, or if you have they have a box they want to get started with Linux or something like that, and they don't feel like using Nopix or something like that, it'd be easier. You could actually do this install. It's very much like a Windows install. It's you put the disk in, you answer like two or three questions, and you're just waiting for it to finish. So once it's done, pretty much you've got a usable distro, and it looks nice. It's, got a lot of preloaded in apps, and depending upon how you feel about Debian, apt is a pretty decent package manager. It's a hell of a lot better than any of the RPM-based things that you get with Fedora or Mandrake or anything like that. So if you're talking about a more Windows-like Linux that you want to try to get somebody initiated into, this might be a good idea. But if you're a Linux power user or somebody that's really likes to customize and tweak what they're doing, I haven't really even looked and see how you've got to go in and strip some of this stuff out. But it really doesn't give you an awful lot of latitude for setting things up exactly how you want, at least not so far as I've seen yet. Of course, I've got all of about 2.5-3 hours experience playing with it. So
you're still a Slack man.
I'm definitely still a Slack man.
Oh yeah.
Even though I got Gentoo, and Gentoo's been pissing me off lately.
I've never installed it.
I did the Gentoo install, and it was great, and I loved loved Portage and playing with that and all that. And then you start after a while, and you start loading a lot of things in. You do Emerge World, and you update everything, and it's all great. And then all of a sudden, it comes back and says you need to fix 725 Etsy files. It's like, what? And you need to do what? I want to use Portage. I want to do it, and I want it to be done. And so it's nice and clean and neat and fast, and I don't even have to worry about it that much. But, that kind of puts me off a bit. But, aside from that diff, Slack's definitely still my favorite by far. So,
if Droops can get installed, we can talk about it with him.
Shut the fuck up.
All right, Mr. Pixel Fiend. There's a lot of people that aren't Mac people, and a couple questions I have.
Go ahead.
What's that?
I said I kind of blew through it fast because it's pretty long and drawn out, but go ahead.
Okay. There's a bunch of PowerPC, PPC, mm-hmm. Distros out there. And you did this one with Ubuntu. Have you tried any others?
Yeah, I did try Linux PPC, like I said, a couple years ago, and could not make it work to save my life. I did download Yellow Dog way back in the day. I think it was version 2. It may have been before that. I don't really remember. So it was several years ago also. This is the first one that I've ever had work for me, to tell you the truth.
And if anybody's out there
wondering, have you tried MX Linux?
No, I haven't tried that one. You mean MK Linux?
Oh, MK, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know about that one. I haven't tried that one though.
And if anybody out there is wondering where you can get any of these distros, you can go to distrowatch.com and find out where to get those at.
Well, MK is a little different to find. When I got these computers, I got two Apples today, or two Macs today, and I searched for the number, the model number, and Linux. Some people had installed MK Linux on it, so I went to the MK Linux homepage, and their download didn't work, and out of their 8,000 mirrors, two worked. And neither one of them had the latest version, you know, of, you know, 20 years ago when it was made.
How convenient.
So, supposedly that works on these things, and people have gotten it to go. Debian has a version. Yellow Dog, you said, had a version. Mm. Ubuntu, of course. What else is there?
Ubuntu really isn't supposed to work on old world machines. All this, you know, jazz that I had to do with swapping the boot images over and everything, that's what really makes it work. Otherwise, you know, if you read everything in here, it says anything that's old world Mac is not supposed to work. This is, you know, some guy apparently hacked through all the barriers and got it to work. So
he's a hacker.
Props to him. Well,
criminal.
Yeah, well, you know.
What's the point of this other than it's cool to do? Do you get any advantage of running a Linux on it instead of the Mac OS?
Well, and I've had quite a few real good arguments about this. I really don't feel that if you can run OS X on a Mac, then you should run OS X on the Mac. Just because I think that's probably the best Nix that you're going to be able to run on it. It's just my own personal feeling about it. Especially the more recent ones, and I know there are people that have, you know, bought titanium PowerBooks and the new iBooks and everything, even the, you know, G5 stuff, and want to run Linux on it. And I personally don't see a lot of sense in it. There are certain parts of the kernel and parts of the operating system that were written to work on hardware, and it works very well. I don't see any reason in the world why you would want to put something else on there. Now, it makes all the sense in the world to me if you've got an old world Mac that you can't run OS X on, then yes, that makes a lot of sense to run Linux on that. Unfortunately, you know, it's hard as hell to get it to work on them sometimes.
Okay. Are there any tricks with a Mac computer? Like, can you go into the BIOS settings like you can on a PC?
No, and as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that I didn't even know that much about it when I first started this. When you go and you do the using disk utility in OS 9 or the you know, the classic OS to partition your and initialize your drive. All the instructions and everything I found on the web everywhere said to partition it with one or two partitions, leaving the large free area untouched. Don't initialize that with anything. And what you actually do, say you put one partition on the drive and you go back in with Linux and you're going to initialize and format that free space, you'll see that there's 9 partitions before the one that you created that hold all the individual, the firmware and the Apple drivers and everything that run the machine. So my Linux distro is on partition 10.
Okay, what are you using to partition the computer?
Disk utility comes with the classic OS, comes with OS 9. When you open it up, there's you have a little icon that'll say install OS 9, and there'll be several folders underneath. There's disk first aid, and one of them will be utilities, and it's disk utility. You just open it up and run it. It asks you, it shows you what drives you have connected, and you just click on it and go to options, and it's a graphical partitioner, so you can actually grab and drag and push and pull the partitions around, or you can enter the size into a window.
Okay, since you can't go into the BIOS, does the Mac automatically boot from the CD if you put a CD in?
For OS 9, what you'll have to do sometimes, depending upon the specific machine you're talking about, is you'll hold down the C key, and that'll boot it for you. Actually, in the Wall Street that I've got, I thought I would have to hold down the C key, but I just booted with the OS 9 CD in there, and it booted it up. If you've got a New World Mac, and you want, it'll actually should boot the Linux, Ubuntu, the PPC distro, it should boot it directly off the disk. At least that's the understanding I got from the websites I was looking at.
Okay. Here's a question that's kind of not really involved. But Mac keyboards have different keys than a Windows keyboard. What are those keys called?
You're talking about the option command or the command keys? The one that looks like an
yes.
Apple? Yeah.
Yeah, and the one with the little squiggly thing.
Yeah, that's a good way that you can tell people that aren't the techie related ones. The at least the way I look at it anyway, the ones if they say they're hitting a keyboard combination, one of them will say it's going to be an Apple U or an Apple T or an Apple M or something. If you talk to somebody that's tech oriented, they'll always say Command M or Command T. It's a same damn key.
Okay. You got any questions that are obfuscated?
No, y'all pretty much covered everything.
Okay, well, we're going to come back in a couple weeks after I've done a couple installs, or at least attempted a couple installs on some old Mac hardware, and see if we can add a little bit to this. But I think Mr. Pixelfiend has covered it really, really well.
Okay, what now we're back. Now, have you installed on your computer yet?
No.
the power of internet radio.
Hey, Drew, what are you going to install on there?
Actually, I was going to try that MK Linux first. On the two old ones that I got, just because I found a couple walkthroughs, just so I can get my foot in the door. And then I was going to try a few other things, like the Yellow Dog. And I didn't realize Ubuntu had a version. Debian's got a version, and there was another one I downloaded the ISO for. I'm going to do a plethora of installs on these things.
Okay.
Ooh, a new word. New word on the Infonomicon show.
The word of the week?
Yeah, yeah. Plethora.
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 How big's a hard drive on those, you know?
I have no idea. Like, all I did was unload them out of the truck today. I haven't touched them. They're still laying on the couch.
So I was going to say, if you want to try to save yourself some headache that I ended up going through with running the installer, you know, 4 and 5 times after I screwed it up once, what I can do is I can save you that the kernel and the RAM disk image that I did from the compiler. You can install that into the bootX initially, and instead of having to do the complete reinstall the second time, you just quit the installer and then boot back with the new kernel. It'll save you a lot of time.
Excellent.
If you're interested in doing that, hit me up on email or something. I'll send it to you.
I'm going to try to do it manually, then I'll probably hit you up.
All right.
Yeah, good luck. This should be interesting. I wanted.
How are we doing on time there, Mr. Obfuscated?
We're doing okay. About 15 minutes.
Okay.
I want to talk about some other about the whole Mac. iPods. Okay. I'm the only one here without one.
That's right.
So how's everybody liking theirs?
Loser.
What kind of, first let's go with Pixelfiend. What kind do you have?
I have a wonderful iPod Photo 40 gig that my wife got me for Christmas. And it's the sweetest, sexiest thing on the planet.
And Droops?
Other than your wife, right?
No, I'm talking about my wife.
Obviously, she's not listening.
Now you know.
You
know what she did? She left me a note inside the thing when I opened it up and said, "You owe me for this. How about a trip?"
And yeah, I trip. I think that's what it's called, right? Huh?
Yeah, that sounds good.
And Drew, what do you have?
I've got a fourth generation 40 gig. I don't have the pretty color one. How's that battery on that color one? Does it last as long as a? Regular one, do you notice a difference?
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Well, I don't know the difference. It's the only one I've had, but it's I can use it off and on during a day, maybe 8-9 hours as I was using it at work. And, cause I just put a show on and listen to it and just go from one to the other without, if, you know, when you keep going back to the display and turn it on and everything, mm-hmm. it's broad. But, I could run two and a half days before I would notice that I'd have to really, you know, have to plug it in and charge it up. So I think it's at least 15 hours.
That's awesome.
Jesus.
It's great. It's great.
Well, my wife's got the iPod Mini, mm-hmm. which is a 4 gig, and it's freaking tiny. Like, it's really, really, really tiny. I don't know. I haven't really touched it much. She seems to like it. She hadn't put it down. Do you have any accessories for your iPod, Mr. Pixelfiend?
Other than a set of old Sony headphones and the and a Belkin FM transmitter, that's about
it. You didn't get your FM transmitter we sent you from Infonomicon?
That would be the one.
I sent you a Belkin one.
I think it was a Belkin one, wasn't it?
Huh?
You said we
sent you a good one.
You said yes, a good one. How are you liking our iPod we sent you?
Oh, it's great. Actually, I've got it right here next to me.
Does it work? Because I sent... Did you get the messages I actually put on the tape?
No, actually, I've never gotten the messages to work. I keep trying.
It's got a security device, as that if someone steals it, they'll throw it away before they get very far.
Well, I keep trying to do what Droops had explained to me. You have to beat it and threaten it properly, and I don't think I've quite gotten the right combination of punches and kicks down to it.
Yeah, it
yet.
Took me 30 minutes to record like a two-minute message outside of CompUSA when I got the batteries for it. I'm like, okay, why is this thing not working? Damn you, little machine. I brought the iPod thing up, because I wanted to talk about podcasting. And are you enjoying it, or have you used it, or...
So far as
download shows.
Oh gosh, yeah. You know, lots of shows, and it saves me a lot of time so far as that goes, because since I learned about the podcasting a couple weeks ago when you actually had it on the show and we're talking about it, I started grabbing a bunch of things all over the place, and Linux Link and Linux Log, and you know, some of the other new ones, Leah Laporte stuff, Engadget, Geek News, Infonomicon, Ben Rev.
Dawn and Drew?
No, I haven't done Dawn and Drew. I've been sticking to the tech stuff.
You should.
Yeah, I grabbed the Evil Genius Chronicles, which why in the hell are they podcasting BitTorrents? I don't quite understand that.
That's the whole new thing they try to do to distribute the bandwidth issue. Supposedly, there's a band. These guys, they're dealing with problems that people have been doing, like, you know, internet radio, like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? They're dealing with problems that have already been solved.
Right.
They're just making new problems for themselves. I don't understand a bit. I don't understand why you would distribute shows on BitTorrent.
Yeah, see, because I'm getting the BitTorrent download, and then it's another step that I got to do, and it's not a big deal. But if I had 10 or 12 of them doing it, then it wouldn't make any sense for me to do it then, because I just you're running Bash Potter, and I had 30-40 shows I'm subscribed to or something like that, and
yeah.
I'll just download, I grab them all, drop them on the iPod, and off I go.
And I brought this up actually to talk about the name of the thing itself, podcasting. Now, I don't have anything against Macs or iPods, because I really want an iPod, but I have a problem with its name, podcasting, mainly because that it gets the impression of people, you know, people that don't know anything,
right,
that should be listening to shows like this, that it has to be on the iPod.
Well, even people that do know stuff, old Stinky, he didn't know that you could do it without an iPod.
Yeah, so I think the name, because all it is, it's basically, if anybody out there doesn't know, it's an XML file, just like the text, just like the RSS feeds, like you get with your news, except it's an MP3 instead of a web page. And that's the only thing that's different.
And there's no special software on the iPod that allows it to happen. All the software is on your computer.
So basically,
it transfers it to the iPod when you use iTunes.
So basically, this could have been done 4 years ago. Except somebody came out with it when the iPod came out. Like, for me, I'm the only person... Actually, I've only known, like, two people with... well, actually, three people now. Pixel Fiend, Droops, and some guy named Dave I know has an iPod. The rest of the people that I got into podcasting use their radios in their cars. Like me, I'm the only one that goes ghetto, old school, that has a tape adapter.
No, you're not.
Oh, I'm not?
He does. I've seen it.
Yeah, and that's how I drive with the tape adapter with the MP3 player. And that's how I listen to my podcasting shows. So I think the name, and I don't know, Droops has some issues with Adam Curry anyway, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well,
just the name itself.
I don't know. Go to eBay and type in iPod. Go to eBay and type in iPod, and you'll find a lot of shit that has nothing to do with an iPod. That people just added the word iPod to it to make it more popular for the search.
Yeah. Is it going to be like
kind of capitalizing
Napster?
On...
It's probably going to be like the next Napster, so everything that comes out has a stir at the end of it. You notice that? Like right,
iPodster.
Yeah, it's gonna be like now everything's gonna be called like a, you know, I or casting or pod. In it,
we should register podster.com.
It's probably been done already. We're not that original. I'm gonna buy some like fucking peanut butter and be like pod butter. It's gonna be all gay.
Yeah, podster.com is not resolving.
So what do you want to call it? Because I might say we don't put out a podcast. I will never say we put out a podcast. We put out a show that we distribute through podcasting.
That we do podcast it, but it's a radio show.
It's a radio show.
It's a distribution channel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to talk to Pixley since Andrews, well, Pixley uses the Mac, don't you, to sync up your iPod?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask you a few questions. You downloaded the last show of Infonomicon, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the name format going okay?
Yeah. Actually, I wish I had my iPod sitting next to me. It was downstairs on the bar. It's listed under Internet Radio, I think it is now, right?
You talk about in the...
genre?
I put it as talk.
You put it as talk?
Yeah, but as long as it goes into a certain folder, that's okay with me, because I've been trying to see... Some people put speech. A lot of people put podcasting.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that put the podcast. Some of them, actually, I found some of the talk ones listed under blues.
You know, that might be something
to
do with...
Well, that's the first one by default.
Yeah, that's the first one by default. I'm thinking it might be the way I'm naming it. I use Winamp to name it. Because all you gotta do is double click on it and name it and then save it, update it. So I don't know if that has anything to do with that. I'm gonna check that on that. I know there's some programs that do it for you. So I'm gonna have to check with that because it might be going just to standard something else. Whatever. I don't know what folder it's putting it in, but I put it under talk. But it probably didn't go in that folder.
Find it here. I got my Mac right here, and the only thing is what I've been doing is I've been downloading and I've been just dropping it directly on the iPod instead of going through iTunes. So one of the main reasons I got is because I want to free up space on my laptop because I get so much stuff taken up with shows and things because a lot of them are you're talking about between 15 and 50 megs.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, you get like 70 or 80 episodes of BinRev and RFA and everything else. You're starting to get into gigabytes. Where the hell did I put that?
So how long does it take for you to download our show? Or do you know because you do it automatically?
I just set it automatically. The one since you've been going to the larger size, that was the last one, right, that you went to the larger size?
Let me see. It's a week before last, yeah.
Before last? Week before last, I think I got that one in the airport, so that was, I got it in Minneapolis. I was on my way back, and I needed something to listen to on the ride. But all the other ones I just set up through Bash Potter and get them overnight.
Great.
So, yeah, so I really can't tell you.
I've been thinking about playing with Bash Pirate to add some, like, you know, like, is there an option on there to set what time you want to download it?
You know what I do? I set it as a cron job.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay.
Just set it as a cron job and have it run it and just drops it in the folder and I don't even know that it's running.
Cool, because I've been thinking about adding some options to it because it looks like it could be so much potential going into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
just so, yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Give that guy a link, an email or something, talk to him, see about expanding it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely, man. I looked at the code, it's just like, wow. So that's all there is, huh?
That's it. Actually, I'm opening up the last app now just to see where it sits. It says artist is Infonomicon, song name is 1-23-2004 and F26 in parentheses. Genre is talk. Huh. I'll have to check on that, but I could have sworn that it was listed under internet radio.
Interesting.
I'll copy an email on it.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should list it under internet radio.
I didn't know there was an option. There's so many because the talk wasn't even in there on the list of things you can aim it. So I was just making up something. Internet radio could be cool, yeah.
So have you got, is it a pull-down type of menu type of thing that you're selecting from?
On Winamp, yes. But you can also just put anything you want in there.
Oh, cool.
Like I could name something like 30s porn sex, whatever. It would name it that.
That's excellent.
Okay, did you want to close it up or Droops?
Why don't we do some shouts? We never do those anymore.
Okay, you want to go first?
Yes, I would like to shout out to my friend Pixel Fiend for being on the show and talking most of it so I can just sit here and kind of relax. And actually for providing a lot of really good information and making our show a little bit smarter. I think he brought it up a lot.
How about your new text file? Not
we're not, you know. Which one? The host file?
Yes.
There's a host file on Infonomicon. Put it on your mom and dad's computer so when they use Internet Explorer, they don't get a lot of bad shit. I would also like to say, go listen to Hack Radio. It's at binrev.com, binrev.com. There's lots of good shows on it.
Don't mind the buffer.
And we're trying to get the word out. All right. What about you there, champ?
Shout out to Pixelfiend, even though he's right here. Hey, Pixelfiend, how you doing?
Thank you.
I'm going to give a shout out to this girl named Amy. Thank you. I shouldn't say stuff like that. I would say I got a new job. So, okay, I should be talking about this probably. Okay, I got a new job. I'm going to be moving soon. Not out of state, but about 70 miles away. So, the show might be... We were thinking about starting to do, like, when I move, like, 2 or 3 shows in a week. So, no one's going to miss anything. So, I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but I'll keep everybody informed. I'm just going to let you know that's coming up pretty soon. And I'm not sure how long it's going to take for me to get my cable internet up. And I'm not even sure what provider those people use over there. So I'm not sure how easy of a transition is going to be.
All right. What about you there, Pixie?
Well, congrats on the job, Obfuscated, first of all. And shout out to both of you guys for having me on. That was it's a lot of fun. I didn't have any idea what to expect when I came on, but as I'm looking through my notes for what I had done, I was thinking, my God, I could talk for an hour and a half on what I went through. But
oh, it can get really crazy.
Oh, God. But no, it's great. It's great. And definitely shouts to my wife if she ever listens to this for taking care of the baby tonight, because I just heard her screaming her head off about 10 minutes ago. So I'm sure I'll have to take care of her tomorrow. But
another iPod.
Yeah, another iPod.
Okay, you want to go to the list of the week?
All right. Yes.
Okay, do we have a side of the week?
Yes, I do. And the site of the week is actually podcastalley.com. Go there. They've got a whole bunch of shows that are listed. Go look at them.
We haven't
go
picked that
for our
enough,
show and go listen to other shows. No, we have not.
I want to. There's a new site out there, actually. It's called BenRev.com. You know, I don't know. I know a lot of you people don't know what that is, but that is exactly. But it's at BINREV.com. And check out.
You're
their
such
show.
A homosexual.
Hey, what's our word?
Okay. Do we have a term of the week?
Yeah, the word
is
of the week.
Techno stress.
Oh Jesus!
I get
techno
that.
Stress. This was in my textbook. I'm learning about this in school. It's stress induced by computer usage.
Can I find out
and
on my insurance?
The symptoms include. No.
My HMO.
Symptoms include. Get this. You're not listening. Aggravation, hostility toward humans,
fuck
impatience, and hostility towards humans. So fuck you, and we have a little techno stress going on.
Hey, what's the quote of the week?
I'm still working on that.
Oh, God.
Pixel Fiend, pull out a quote of the week. Go.
Pull your Bartlett's out.
God, put me on the spot.
Just the most amazing thing you've heard this week.
Most amazing after the week.
Idiotic are amazing.
When my boss said goodbye for the last time on about 5 o'clock tonight, that was the most amazing thing I heard this week. I was so happy to hear it.
Aren't we all?
It's been hell.
The most amazing thing I'm going to hear this week is when I tell my boss I'm quitting. I haven't told him yet. Sunday's my last day.
It's such a satisfying thing.
It is. I'm just going to say, he's going to be like, can you come in later when I'm not supposed to work? I'm going to be like, no, I quit and stuff. Go by here. Fuck yourself. I can't say fuck yourself because I've worked there so long and I need a reference. I can't just have this 5-year gap.
Yeah, that really...
I have Droops as my employer.
But I'm the Mr.
Yes, if anyone ever needs a job reference, I have a company and I'll give you good references.
McFit, I'll hit you up later.
We all use Droops' internet service. And
my phone number is 662-5 something or other, I forgot.
And who's the cunt of the week? Didn't Pitsofine have somebody?
I think he did.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was talking about her earlier when she left for the week, but I'm not getting into that.
She doesn't listen, I promise.
Yeah, probably not.
She probably start. She like, does she know Pixel? Does she know who Pixel Fiend is?
Oh, no. There's only 3 people on the planet that know who Pixel Fiend is.
Cool. So you're undercover.
I'm deep undercover, baby.
Deep throat.
Don't go there.
And
so what's our closing music?
The closing music. Actually, I'm gonna start getting my music from GarageBand.com since we get more listeners, and I really don't want to get sued. I really don't. I'm broke as it is. I don't want to fucking get sued by some stupid bands. But a band I found out called Four, very original, and a song called Pest Control. I guess they work for Orkin or something. But, yeah, that's a pretty cool band. And also, we didn't talk about Asterix.
I guess we're going to have Pixel Fiend on again.
Uh-oh. He's pissed off. He's like, damn it. Actually, I tried to set up an Asterix box, but that didn't go very well. I guess I'm not... I want to ask you something. I don't know the terms for him, so I'm going to ask you very in a noobish way. There's a way to hook up external phones to the box itself, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way to do it without those, because I'm not going to buy any extra cards.
To hook up external phones without the cards?
No, my whole plan was to set up the box by itself and no external cards.
Right. You could go with cell phones or free world dial-up if you ever get to work right. I have a lot of trouble with that and with IAX. I can look around for it for a little bit for you, but yeah, really, if you're not looking at adding any extra cards in, what a Not Theory had said before is they are really cheap. You can look around and you can find them. There's a wide variety of prices, but you can find them usually a good medium price. Seemed to me that I found was about $20.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Then, so, okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
that problem.
It's not that bad. It really isn't. The only problem is you run into some hairiness if you've got the box behind a gnat. Yeah, they're you know, I'll email you about that, or I'll talk to you about it on another show.
Okay. One thing I was going to talk about for next episode is that if I don't move, which it doesn't seem likely I'm going to move anytime within the next month, I'm setting up a firewall on a Linux box. Now, since this is a noob show, I'm going to go into detail about it because I've never done it before, and I've never worked with IP tables or the sort before. So I'll talk about the next episode and go into detail about it. And the main reason I need this is because, like I said, I was setting up a Samba server. And on my Windows box, I had Zone Alarm running. And the reason why it wouldn't do it is because of the firewall. And so I try to go into settings and say, allow this port or allow this IP address, allow anything in this IP address, which Zone Alarm calls trusted zones. Mm-hmm. Well, it still wouldn't allow it. I still couldn't even ping myself from the internal network. So I decided to get rid of that because it's a pain in the ass. And if I can't even allow a port, it just allows IP address, which that wouldn't even work. So I decided to get rid of that, and I don't feel comfortable running without a firewall.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to set up an external one. Got this little 333, about 128 megs of RAM in it. And I'm just going to set it up, make it run perfectly, which it's not, and talk about it on the next episode. So that's going to be it for the week. And how do we do this since we got almost a surround sound guest? Surround sound.
Well, I've been Droops.
And I've been Obfuscated, and you've been...
I've been Pixel Fiend.
And until then, we're Mickey Finn.
Not believing all your job, God will come to blame us all. God.